All right. Let me also just remind you that we have prayer every Monday night here at the church at 7 o'clock down in the fellowship hall. We started this about 6 weeks ago leading up to the election. Who would have thought that the Monday after the election, we'd still be praying for the election? But we're going to tomorrow night, 7 o'clock down in the fellowship hall. And so be great to see as many of you as could come. And those have been wonderful, wonderful times of prayer and seeking the Lord. Hey, I want to just draw our attention to a couple of passages of Scripture today and bring an encouraging word for us today from God's Word. The first, I'm going to look at one Old Testament and one New Testament Scripture that are very related to one another. First Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, and this is a description of the men of the tribe. One of the tribes of Israel was called Issachar, and this is a description that's used to describe the men of this tribe of Issachar in the time that they were living in. It says, from Issachar, and this is what it has to say about these people, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And church, I want to suggest to you this morning that as the people of God, we need to have men and women and young people who understand the times that we're living in and know what to do. Amen? That we are going to be directed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God and not the spirit of this world. Right? Understanding the times that we live in, but also knowing what that means for us, knowing what we should do. All right, now let's bring this into the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Know what to do, right? Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Making the most of every opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. Because the days are evil. So Paul here makes this acknowledgement that the times that they were living in, 2,000 years ago, by the way, that they were evil times. He's not hiding that fact. But at the same time, and more importantly, there's a reminder that God was still at work. There were obstacles, but also there were opportunities, and the opportunities outweigh the obstacles. This was Paul's way of saying to the church of his time, seize the day. Take advantage of the opportunities before you. Because there's this tendency to think, church, oh, our culture is becoming so corrupt. They've rejected the gospel. They want nothing to do with the church. So we'll just do our thing and they can do their thing. But this is the exact opposite of the approach that Jesus would have us to take, church. Yes, the days are evil, but remember, God is still at work. Our own state, tragically, just passed this law that makes us the most liberal drug use state in the entire United States. And this thing is going to have terrible consequences, not only in terms of people becoming addicted to drugs, but add to that the impact on children and families and loss of income and crime rates. I just can't even imagine. But then add to that what we know as believers is that drug use is a gateway for satanic activity in people's lives. It's opening people's lives up to the darkness of the enemy, right? And so we know the days are evil. But I also want you to know that there's not a demon in hell that can stand up against the name of Jesus, right? So for every obstacle, there's an opportunity. The days are evil, but let's take advantage of every opportunity that God presents to us to make a difference for him. The fact is, Jesus even warned his disciples 2,000 years ago that life wasn't going to be easy. John chapter 16, verse 33, I have told you these things. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Wow, isn't that a great promise? No, it's just Jesus helping his disciples get a hold of reality. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Yeah. So there's always going to be trouble in this world, but that's no reason for us to pull back. The Lord wants his people to love even when we're not loved back. He wants us to be generous even when we're not being given anything back. He wants us to serve even when we're not being thanked. He wants us to pray even when we don't see instantaneous results. He wants us to rejoice and praise him no matter what our circumstances are. Amen? So you can focus on the evil or you can focus on what God is doing. You can talk about the devil and get depressed, or you can talk about what God's doing and be blessed. Yeah. So church, it's a great day to be alive. It is. I want to give an example of Jesus' authority over every demon, and the authority that he has given to us. It comes from Luke chapter 10, and Jesus has just sent out not the 12, but 72 disciples. And he sent out these disciples out to preach the gospel and to bring healing to people. And they go out, and God does amazing things through them. They come back to Jesus. They're absolutely pumped. They're rejoicing. They're high-fiving one another. And it says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Come on, get that word all in there. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Church, we've got victory over the enemy. Amen? We've got the name of Jesus. We have authority over every demon of hell. We have authority to see the chains of drug addiction broken in the name of Jesus. Yes, church, so things are bad, the days are evil, but God is good, and he still does miracles, right? Yeah. And so these guys are pumped up, they're excited about being able to cast out demons, they're all pumped up, and it was good news, and it's good news now. But Jesus says, look, that's not even the most important part. The most important part is that your name is written in heaven. That's the most important thing. Church, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important message in all the world. Amen? Amen? Amen. There's a lot of messages out there right now. A lot of messages. There's nothing that has more power and authority and ability to change a life and change someone's destiny. There's nothing that is more powerful and important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. So church, we've been given a message that's written in our hearts because God has changed our lives. And then this is a message that comes out of us in how we live and how we speak. And it's the message of the gospel. And there's nothing more important. There's nothing more powerful. Church, this is not a time for us to sit back and pretend like we're victims. This is a time in the name of Jesus for us to rise up in the name of Jesus and know that the message that many in the world don't want to hear is still the message that saves, delivers, and heals. Yeah. So it's time, church, to rise up. People are hurting. They're lonely. They're confused. And this is a time for the church to shine. We have seniors seniors who most of times feel alone. But right now, they feel so lonely and isolated. And it's a terrible thing. The days are evil. But there's an opportunity there, church, to reach out to some of these beautiful seniors with the love of Jesus. Amen? And maybe you can't go visit them because of COVID restrictions, but you can make a phone call. You can write a card. You can let them know that they're not forgotten. Amen? The days are evil, but there's an opportunity to make a difference. We've been reading and hearing reports that teen suicide is on the rise all over our nation and right here in our own state. There are young people that are so desperate, so confused that they're taking their very lives. It's tragic, it's terrible, it's heartbreaking. But church, now is the time for us to step in and say, look, we know that the world has lied to you, but we want to tell you the truth, that God is real and that He loves you and Jesus died for you and your life is worth living. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Yeah. Rise up in the name of Jesus. These are all opportunities to minister to hurting people. So I want to give you, that was just the introduction, by the way. I want to give you five things this morning. I want to give you five things this morning that I thought of when I just was seeking the Lord. Lord, you know, these men of Issachar that understood the times, knew what to do. Lord, what would you say to us? What should we do? All right, so I want to give you five things this morning. The first one is this: press into your relationship with God like never before. Let this be a spiritual wake-up call for all of us. Let's press into the Lord. Listen, with all the confusion out there, I know this. We all need to hear from God. Amen? You need to hear from God. You need to know that you can hear from God. Right? That's why Jesus has come, to bridge that gap between us and God so that we could have a personal relationship with Him. And if today you feel like, I'm so distant from God, I'm so alienated from God, I'm not able to hear from God, I'm going to give you an opportunity when I finish this message to recommit your life to Christ, to reconnect with the Lord, because God does care about your life and He wants to speak into your life. Press into Him. The Bible says that God will make Himself known when we seek Him with all of our hearts, when we go after Him, right? So you can hear from God for yourself. You don't have to go through your pastor or a priest or a prophet or anybody else. And listen, I believe in pastors and I believe in the gift of prophecy. But I also want you to know, you don't have to depend on a prophet to hear from God. We believe in the priesthood of all believers, that through Jesus Christ, every man of God, every child of God, every daughter of God, and even little children can hear from God personally. Right? Yeah. And so press into God. Listen to His voice. Get into His word. Spend time on your knees before Him. All right? So that's number one. Number two is this: take out the trash. Okay? I'm talking about your home cleaning, but more importantly, here's what I'm saying. If you're carrying around excess baggage, it's time to dump it. It's unneeded weight that you're carrying around. One of my life verses has always been Proverbs 4:23, which says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Take out the trash. If you're harboring unforgiveness, come on, take care of it with God's help. If there's bitterness there, it's just destroying you. It's tearing you up. if you find yourself becoming passive and passive aggressive like so many people in our world, they're very aggressive when they're behind their phone. If you find yourself just adopting you some of these things, worldly things that are creeping into your heart, come on, let's get rid of it. The Bible says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him any place in your heart and life. Take out the trash. And then number three is this. Love God's church unconditionally. Listen, the church isn't perfect. Never has been, never will be. And am I concerned about the spiritual condition of many of our churches? Absolutely I am. But at the same time, I've seen Christians tearing down the church, ripping into their pastors, ditching the fellowship, walking away from relationships. And listen, if you've been a part of that, you've played right into the devil's hand. And you've been used by the enemy to tear down the body of Christ. You've been used as a pawn in the devil's scheme against the church. Listen, long after 2020 has come and gone, the church of Jesus Christ is still going to be here. And we need a church that's united and healthy and strong and spirit-filled and vibrant and together and loving one another and being a force in our community. This is not a time to tear down the church. It's time to build one another up. Come on. Yeah. Number four is this. Find a place to serve and serve joyfully. That didn't get us any amens. Come on. Find a place to serve and serve joyfully. Listen to this. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouragement, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's leading, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we're all different. We have different gifts. We have different personalities. We've got different strengths and weaknesses. We're all different. But one thing that we all should have in common is we're all supposed to serve somewhere. Right? Somewhere. I'm not going to tell you where, but you need to find a place to serve. Be serving. Listen, the kids of Bethel Church need teachers and mentors and helpers. Man, this is not a time, church, to abandon our kids. Yeah. We want our kids to have the greatest experience here at Bethel Church. Right? We want our kids to know Jesus and to love their church family. We want kids that cannot wait for a Sunday morning. Right? Because church is so awesome for them. But that takes people. It takes people willing to serve and love on the kids. And so there's kids ministries. In the community, there's so many different places that we can serve. I just got an email a couple of days ago from Pastor Ryan Roden. Pastor Ryan is the pastor at Living Waters Foursquare Church, making a huge difference in our community. I love that church. I love Pastor Roden. He just emailed me and he said, look, at their outreach center, they're really short right now on volunteers. And I think it would just be cool for volunteers from Bethel Church to serve at the Foursquare Church. What do you think? Amen? Amen? Doesn't have to be about Bethel Church. Come on, let's support one another. So at Open the Door Ministries, several of our members are involved in every Saturday and other days of the week too. They're down and they're feeding homeless people down at the park. And right now there's such a need for warm clothing, as you can imagine, warm clothing and making a difference. And they've been feeding between 75 and 100 people every week. And here's what I love about Open the Door Ministry. It's not just about the warm clothing. It's not just about the food. That is opening the door to tell people that need Jesus about Jesus. Amen? And so get involved, serve in some way. We mentioned on the video the Big Give that we do every year through McLaughlin Middle School. And every year we've been serving about 100 kids with Christmas gifts. We've been providing a Christmas meal for their family and just being a blessing. Listen, the need there has not gotten less. It's gotten greater this year. Between COVID and between the fires and people losing their jobs, the need is greater this year, not less. So I've asked Kayla to help us do this, but we want to move from 100 kids to 150 kids this year, right? So that's going to mean more sacrifice, it's going to mean more giving, but it's also going to mean more opportunity and more blessing. Hallelujah. Yeah. So church, find a place to serve, and when you do it, serve joyfully. And if you're wondering, well, how can I get involved? You can talk to any one of the staff members here at Bethel Church, and we will have a conversation with you about your strengths and weaknesses and your giftings and where your heart is. And we will, I'll promise you this, we'll help you get plugged in somewhere. Amen. Right? Find a place to serve and serve joyfully. All right? Hey, church, let's advance the kingdom of God. How about that? Yeah. And then number five is this: share the gospel liberally. Share the gospel liberally. The church has a fantastic message, and the world right now doesn't need less of the gospel. It needs more of the gospel. Right? The world doesn't need us to shrink back right now out of fear or disappointment or disillusionment or whatever. The world needs the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, church, we don't know how long we have left to do this. We've got a job to do that Jesus gave us, and we don't know what God's timeline is. We know this: Jesus is coming back. Amen. He is coming back, right? There is a due date. There is an end date. There's going to be a day where we will not be able to share the gospel with the unbelievers anymore. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. So church, now is the time for us to talk to people about Jesus, to make the most of every opportunity. Look for those opportunities that the Holy Spirit is going to give to you. He's going to open up doors if you'll ask him to. If you'll ask him, Lord, help me to share Jesus with somebody today. Man, could you pray that prayer in the morning? Lord, help me today to talk to somebody about Jesus. Yeah, and then see what God does. Watch out. Don't pray it if you don't mean it. Don't pray it if you don't mean it, right? Listen, I know it takes courage in our world to talk about Jesus. I get it. It takes courage. But since when has God ever called us to be cowards? He's called us to have courage, to be bold for him, right? So in love and grace and in boldness, man, let's talk about Jesus everywhere we can to everybody who will listen. Amen? Yeah, yeah. And see what God will do. So there you go. Press into your relationship with God like never before. Take out the trash. Love God's church unconditionally. Find a place to serve and serve joyfully and share the gospel liberally. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll do those five things, watch out. It's going to make a difference. Church, it's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be alive. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes for just a moment as we pray And worship team is going to join me up on the platform. I want to give an opportunity this morning for us to respond to the Word of God and respond to what God is doing in your own life right now. Maybe you've walked into this place. Maybe you're watching online and you're just really not happy about where you are in terms of your own relationship with the Lord, and God feels very distant to you, and you're just feeling very very distant from the Lord. I want you to know He's as close as the mention of His name, and if you will call out to Him today, He's going to meet you right where you're at. He is. You say, Pastor Tim, I just haven't thought about God for a long time. I've really kind of gone my own way. I want you to know, even though you've forgotten about the Lord, He never forgot about you. He loves you with a deep passion. And if today you want to reconnect with the Lord, I want you to know it's not too late. I also want you to know that there is no sin that God cannot forgive. The devil will lie to you and tell you that you've done something that God's not going to forgive. That's a lie from the enemy. We serve a good God. We serve a gracious God. So if this morning you want to recommit your life to Christ, or perhaps for you this is the first time, you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. And if you're here in person, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want you to just raise your hand up. Just let me know that you're going to pray this prayer. You're just saying, Tim, I need to come back to the Lord. So when I get to three, you raise your hand, and then I'll lead us in prayer. One, two, yeah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Others this morning. Those of you at home, I'm going to lead you in this prayer as well. If you're at home and you've been distant from God, I want to invite you to pray this prayer along with those that have raised their hand here in person. Would you pray along with me in church? Will you pray along with those that are raising their hand right now? Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody out loud. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring myself to you today. God, I open my heart to you. I need you in my life. God, I ask that you will forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. I believe you've risen from the dead. So, Lord, I invite you into my life today. Change me. Change me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, church, that the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner who comes to Christ. So let's rejoice with those that have prayed to receive the Lord today. Hallelujah. 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 If you prayed to receive the Lord, I just want to invite you. We've got a little station back here called New to Faith. And there's going to be people there right after service who will be glad to pray with you, answer any questions that you have. They've got some materials they'd like to give to you about water baptism. They've got a Bible if you need a Bible. And they would love to meet you and pray with you this morning. If you're online and you gave your heart to the Lord, you can let us know that. Please let us know that. Let your host know if you're on Facebook. If you're online, you can send us an email. But let us know. Let somebody know that you prayed to receive the Lord today. Amen. Well, let's just bless the Lord one more time this morning. And Pastor BJ, are you up next? Who's up next? Anybody? Oh, a song is up next. Let's stand and sing.